Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Your Half Hour Inspirational Program. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 30 minutes. Thank you so very much for joining us in tonight's broadcast. It's really, truly a blessing to have you on the air with us this evening. And to my listening audience from near and far, I thank you all for sharing this time of your life with me. Whether that's on the Tuesday night show or on the Friday evening show, because your time is valuable, and I respect that. I really appreciate you taking the time. So thank you for that, and I trust that you will continue to be with us and continue to listen to the broadcast. All right, tonight we're talking about He'll Do It Again. We just concluded a three-part series on nearing the end of your rope. And last Friday evening, we did on the final chapter, nearing the end of your rope. So I appreciate all of you all that are tuning in to the broadcast week after week. It does me very good to know that you're tuning in. So I really appreciate that. And I want you to know that we here at Your Half Hour Inspirational Program really look forward to you listening to these weekly broadcasts that we bring on the air. All right, we're going to invite the presence of the Holy Spirit into our lives, into this program tonight. Father, we thank you for all of your blessings. We pray now as we present a word to the people that you will be in the midst of this and that you will go forth with it and give the people something that they can receive and digest and discern. These are the blessings. We thank you and we appreciate you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. You know, when I think about tonight, I so vividly think about what God has done for me. And it makes me reflect over the years from my early childhood, the years that I can remember, even up until the present time. And I say, you know what? It is so good to know that God has been so good to me. It's meaningful. It serves a purpose. I am so grateful for that. And so I just want you all to know that no matter what you're dealing with, if you just reflect on where you've been to where you are now, you too will begin to look and say, you know what, God has truly been good to me. He really has been truly good to me. So I want you to reflect on that. And, you know, start counting your blessings from there. Oftentimes, we as humans, we get down and out. We feel that God is, you hear me say this from time to time, on vacation. Looks like he put us on the planet and left and forgot all about us. Because we think of those times when we're going through our struggles. But what about when the times are real good? Do we even think about God? do we really even think about him? You know, life is going to have, as you keep living, you're going to experience the fact that life has its and downs, its challenges, its problems. You're going to find that there's so much that goes on with life. And sometimes it appears favorable, and other times it doesn't seem favorable. And it's like during those other times when it's not going in our favor, we really want God to be there. And it's almost as if we want to demand him, the God of heaven, to come to our rescue when we feel we need him. I don't think God operates like that. God does everything in his own time, and it's his own season. And, you know, he wants us to learn patience. And that's one of the things that will carry us through, is learning patience. So when we talk about tonight's topic, he'll do it again, he'll do it again, what are we talking about? He'll do it again. And again, we reflect. I'm asking you to reflect on those times that you're thinking. Those times that you are thinking that, God, you know what? I'm going through my season. I'm going through my moment. I need you to be here with me. I need you to really, really know what I'm dealing with. God, it's lonely out here. It's frustrating. It's agonizing. And it seems like the times when I need you most, you're the furthest away. I think that many of us that are reached a seasoned age, I should say, have probably felt that way and probably held some things within. And I think it's important that we talk to God and even write a letter to him and let him know how you're feeling and why you're feeling this way. He already knows that. He already knows what you put in. But I think that communication with him is be very similar to at least the prayer that you pray. If you're going to pray a prayer. Let him know what you're feeling, what you're going through. David did in the Bible. And I think if you write him a letter, David did in the Bible, and just pour your heart out. You know, because David had his good days, he had his bad days, but David was the one that God said, this is a man after my own heart. So life is going to have its ups and downs. We're going to have those good days that seem superb, and then we're going to have those days that it seems like, whoa, this, nothing went right in this day. But then you know what? We can be so grateful and thankful that God creates another day, and we get maybe a fresh start. And we can start that day by changing our attitudes. And we say, well, you know what? Let me make this conscious thought to get up this morning. And no matter what goes on, I'm going to purpose in my heart, in my mind, in my spirit to have a great day. That's my choice. Today I'm going to have a great day. So sometimes that's what it takes. I'm going to have a great day. I'm not going to let anyone steal my joy. I'm going to promise myself that today I'm not going to get out of character. I'm not going to let somebody push my button. I'm going to do my very best. I'm going to do it. I'm going to not just even try, but I'm going to purpose this. I'm going to develop that mindset that this is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to let anything change my attitude today from having a productive day, a good day in the Lord, you know, and a good day at work, and just feel good about myself. So, you know, it's going to take something to do all of that. And that's what you've got to do. You've got to do that. And so when we talk about he'll do it again, when you reach your low, let's say you're in your low, when you're high, in your high moments, it's not likely that a lot of people are even calling on God for those when they're in that excited moment of joy when they've accomplished something. And we need to be giving thanks at that time and saying, God, thank you for this feeling, this melatonin has brought me to this state of mind that I can, that natural high it gives us, that the brain produces on its own. It's like, God, thank you for letting us me get there. So, you know, whatever I've just accomplished that brought me to this point, help me to enjoy the moment of it now, because when the days that I have my low, Lord, let me also give you thanks for that, because there's chances are there's a lesson in that I'm supposed to learn. So I want to thank you for the highs that I have. And God, I also want to thank you for the lows that I have, because it's those lows that can get me to appreciate when I have the highs in life. And perhaps if there were no lows that we experience, then we would not begin to appreciate the highs that we have. If we always operated on the highs, you know, in our life, then when there comes a time when things are not at that point, where the excitement level is not there, then it almost would appear as if there is no lesson to be learned. So those, we have got to get to the point where we can enjoy those lows in life that we have and celebrate the highs when they come, and even celebrate the lows. No matter, it may seem like it's the end. Might just very well seem like it's the end. But what you can do, in fact, is say, you know what? There's a lesson. There is a powerful lesson in this that I'm supposed to learn. But just pray that, God, please show me the lesson. It may be a lesson of humility that we need, a lesson for us to humble ourselves, you know, come off of a high horse. But ask God to help you to learn the lesson in it. You know, not every sports team can win. There's only going to be one. We just had our Super Bowl, and many people were expecting the Super Bowl to go a different way than it did. We had the Denver Broncos playing against the other team. They escaped me for the moment. But we had them playing against the Seattle Seahawks. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for that. And everybody, because the Seattle Seahawks quarterback was in his second or third year, as it would be, they just didn't think that he had the ability to take his team to the championship. Well, he certainly has a gift, and it wasn't him alone, but it was a team effort that caused him to get there. But see, first of all, people don't realize that in that team that got there, they felt that they were starting to compare the quarterbacks and saying, well, Peyton Manning has all of these years of experience, over 15 years of experience in the NFL as a quarterback, as an outstanding quarterback. And now you've got this guy who would seem as if he's a rookie. But, you know, there has to be some talent for him to get there. And also people fail to realize, you know, you just can't compare the quarterback. You have got to compare the team. And people didn't realize that, they perhaps didn't take into consideration that the Seattle Seahawks has the number one defense, whereas the Denver Broncos has, perhaps it said, has the number one offense. So when you're putting the number one defense out there, as it be, you can expect that, you know, you're not going to, that opposition is not necessarily going to make as many touchdowns. And then you would think that having the number one offense, you might expect them to score a number of touchdowns. And then when you have, I believe it may be that the Seattle Seahawks, I'm not sure what their ranking was in terms of offense, and I'm not sure what Denver's defense ranking was. But nevertheless, you can't just take two players and say that, oh, this one, because he's got the experience. You have got to look at the totality of the circumstances, everything that surrounds that, and you've got to look at the team and make your, in order to do a fair comparison, you've got to look at both teams, what they're bringing to the table. And at the end of the day, you know, there's only going to be one winner. Somebody's going to be a number one. You know, and that's when it comes to sports. So at the end of that, at the end of the game, there's going to be a Super Bowl champion. And then there's going to be someone that goes home wishing that they had been the Super Bowl champion. And you see, the point I want to make is that we, those who won the Super Bowl, they are on that high. They're on that high. They're going to enjoy that until the start of the next season. They're going to enjoy that, you know, because they won the Super Bowl. They've got some bragging rights, right? Well, see, there's those other teams that may not get, you know, who they play. They've got players who might stay on those teams for years and never come out with that Super Bowl victory or that Super Bowl ring to have those bragging rights to their children and grandchildren, you know, that they may never, but nevertheless, They fail to realize that they are still champions. See, with God, we're all champions. It doesn't matter if you won the Super Bowl or not. It doesn't matter if you lost the Super Bowl or not. With God, we are all champions because we're children, His children. And you see, we're going to go through as we are His children. We're going to have our highs and lows. But there, I'm reminded as we talk about tonight's topic, He'll do it again. He'll do it again. The songwriter goes on to say, and I believe this is one of Shirley Caesar's songs. And in her music, she goes on to say that she reminds us that you may be down and feel like God has somehow forgotten. And see, this is what I'm talking about tonight as I gave the introduction. You may feel like you're at such a point where you're down. You're having your down moment. You're having your down moment. And you feel like God is out to lunch. He's placed us on this planet, and He's completely forgotten about us. That's what you might be feeling right now listening to this broadcast. And she goes on to say that you are faced with circumstances you can't get through. She said you may be down, and you're feeling like God has somehow forgotten you, that you are faced with circumstances you can't get through. But now it seems that there is no way out and you're going under. You know, we've been talking for the last 3 weeks about nearing the end of your rope. And as I said at the opening of tonight's broadcast, that last week we talked about nearing the end of your rope, the final chapter. And you know, it's not over. They used to say, have a saying, and this is certainly not to offend anyone. I'm just quoting a saying that I've heard out there. It's not over until the fat lady sings. Well, you know what? That's not all. That's not true. That's just a myth or a saying. But I can tell you this, it's not over until God says it's over. You see, she says you may be down and feel like God. You're having this feeling because you're down that God has somehow forgotten. That you are faced with circumstances you can't get through, but now it seems that there is no way out, and you're going under. It seems like you're drowning. You come up and down. They say when you're about to drown, you come up and down three times. It seems like you're on that third, having come up, and you're going down for the third time. You're going under. Then you realize God's proven time and time again that He'll take care of you. And in the chorus, it begins with this sentence that sounds so great to me. And it just fills my spirit because, you know, just leading up to the chorus, God's proven time and time again He'll take care of you. And that's what I was saying to you tonight, that as you open up, as you reflect on where you've been to where you are now, He'll take care of you. And the chorus begins by saying, and He'll do it again. And it repeats by saying, He'll do it again. If you just take a look, we're reminded, she reminds us in these lyrics, if you just take a look at where you are now and where you've been, we'll hasten. He'll always come through for you. He's the same now as then. You may not know how. You may not know when. Oh, this is so beautiful. This is so beautiful. You need to look at these lyrics yourself. I mean, it just does something to my spirit when I read it. And he'll do it again. He'll do it again. If you just take a look at where you are now and where you have been, well, hasten. He'll always come through for you. He's the same now as then. You may not know how. You may not know when. But he'll do it again. And then it goes on to say, you know, and the title of the song is He'll Do It Again. God knows the things you're going through. And he knows how you're hurting. You see, he knows just how your heart has been broken in two. But he's the God of the stars, of the sun and the sea. And he is your father. You see, he can calm the storm, and he'll find some way to fix it for you. You know, this is one of the most beautiful songs, the lyrics. You know, a few days ago, I had an opportunity to be visiting the church, and they sang a song that I had never in my life heard before, and I can't even recall what the name of the song was. But they sang this song, and I just thought that it was the most boring song out there. And somebody who said to me at the close of that song that I shared a songbook with, that's a beautiful, those lyrics are beautiful. And then it began to register to me as the song concluded, to go back and take a look at the lyrics, take a look at the words that the song, was had been presented. And I looked at those lyrics and I said, wow, that is beautiful. As I looked at those lyrics, I had a different appreciation now for the song. What I thought was such a boring song now turned out to be, because of the lyrics that gave the song power. You see, I was looking for the entertainment in the message of music. That's what I was looking for. Looking for entertainment in the message of music. But I fell in doing so. I failed to realize that the real deal was not in the message of music. The real deal was in the lyrics, in the words, not to be entertained, but just to be, I mean, to sing that. And there was somebody there that I am certain of that was experiencing something that they needed to hear in those lyrics. And they could sing that song knowing, that, you know what, this song has meaning for my life. This song has purpose for my life. And that's what they were talking about, that particular song, because they could sing that song and appreciate it. They could sing that song and appreciate it. And so now I have just come across, my producer is just showing me, actually, the song that it was. And I can tell you with certainty now, as I've looked at this song, it was called Take Time to Be Holy. You see, I had never, and it's found in the hymn on page 500, I had never in my life heard that song before. And I certainly, if I hadn't heard the song before, I had no clue of the lyrics. But the way it was sang in church, I just thought, oh, man, this is so boring. Just like a kid would say, oh, church is boring. I just thought the music was so boring until it was presented to me that the words are so beautiful. Then as I reflected on those words, and I'm going to share them with you tonight, it says, the title is Take Time to Be Holy. And even though the music didn't come across as appealing to my soul, when I went back and read the lyrics, let me tell you, I became inspired. It says, take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. abide in him always and feed on his word. Make friends of God, children. Help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing his blessing to seek. It goes on to say in verse 2, take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. Thy friends and thy conduct his likeness shall see. Oh, that is beautiful. The words are beautiful. And it goes on verse 3. And they sang all four stanzas. And let me tell you, as I sat there and I heard this, I wasn't concentrating on the lyrics. I just developed an attitude that, oh, this is boring. So everything, even though I was singing along to the best of my ability, I failed to even, I was just looking at words and reciting them or just saying them, I should say. And instead of taking it in to digest and try to discern what it is that I'm uttering. Verse 3. Take time to be holy. Let him be thy guide. And run not before him, whatever betide. In joy or in sorrow. That's right. When you're feeling up or you're feeling down. In joy or in sorrow, still follow thy Lord. And looking to Jesus, still trust in his word. I mean, this is so beautiful. This is so beautiful. And I had to be told that. And here again now, verse 4 and the last one, take time to be holy. Be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath his control. Oh, that is, I got to read that again. Take time to be holy. Be calm. Be calm. Be calm. Be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath his control. We're all under his control. Thus led by his spirit to fountains of love, thou soon shalt be fitted for service above. You know, that is awesome. So in other words, I'm getting this from that last answer that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. And so our personalities, our characters are being molded and shaped for the service to be provided in heaven above. I mean, that is, you can't get it, you can't ask anything any better than that. You see, so again, I say to you, in your moments of joy, victory, give God the thanks. And in your moments of weakness and when you're at your low point, you give God the thanks and ask him to show you, God, what am I supposed to take from this for my character building? You see, even with the quarterbacks out there, and Peyton Manning may have been one of the older players on the Denver Broncos, but see, people fail to realize, and many of us were going for Peyton Manning, and I being one of them. Peyton Manning already has a Super Bowl ring under his belt or on his finger. He already has more, I believe two, if I'm not mistaken. You see, so Peyton Manning has nothing to hold his head down. And those other players, they may get another opportunity. But we're all champions when we believe in God because our personalities are being shaped. So when you're at your lowest moment, let me tell you something. You can just change that by changing the way that you think about that and say, God, thank you for the situation because it is in this situation that I will learn something and I will take that from here to make me a rising star, oh God, and I thank you for that. If this program has been a blessing to you tonight as much as it has been to me, please, I encourage you to let somebody know. And, of course, join us every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show where we talk about relationships. It's all about relationships. And, of course, if you choose to bypass next Tuesday, join us again next Friday for another half hour of your inspirational program. Until then, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.